a quick look at what the Prime Minister had to say about startups and the future in India.
हर कोई अपने इनोवेशन को बड़े गर्व के साथ दिखा रहा था और यहां आकर किसी भी भारतीय को लगेगा कि आज के स्टार्टअप को नहीं बल्कि कल के यूनिकॉर्न और डेकाकॉर्न को देख रहे हैं। साथियों, भारत आज अगर ग्लोबल स्टार्टअप स्पेस के लिए नई उम्मीद, नई ताकत बनकर उभरा है, तो इसके पीछे एक सोचा समझा विजन रहा है। भारत ने सही समय पर सही निर्णय लिए, सही समय पर स्टार्टअप्स को लेकर काम शुरू किया। मुझे इस बात की भी खुशी है कि हमारे 45% से ज्यादा स्टार्टअप्स 45% से ज्यादा स्टार्टअप्स इसका नेतृत्व महिलाएं कर रही है, नारी शक्ति कर रही है। इस ताकत का कोई अंदाज नहीं लगा सकता जी, ये पूरा एडिशनल बेनिफिट है देश को। हमारी बेटियां कटिंग एज इनोवेशन से देश की समृद्धि की तरफ ले जा रही है जी। साथियों, इनोवेशन का ये कल्चर विकसित भारत के निर्माण के लिए नहीं बल्कि पूरी दुनिया के बेहतर भविष्य के लिए भी बहुत जरूरी है। और मैं बहुत जिम्मेवारी के साथ कहता हूं, विश्व के बेहतर भविष्य की बात मैं कर रहा हूं और मेरी ताकत पर नहीं, आपके सामर्थ्य पर मेरा भरोसा है।
Well, we've got a very special panel this evening. We've got some of India's finest startups and their founders, co-founders with us. Alok Bajpai, CEO and co-founder of Ixigo with us, the travel website. Rajat Gulati, the co-founder of Pluto's One, also joined by Ankur Sabharwal, the co-founder and CEO of CoRover, and Neha Singh, the CEO and co-founder of Traxim. Thank you all very much for being with us. Alok Bajpai, let me go to you first. I think the real story as far as India's startups are concerned is of those people who at one stage may have been job seekers now being job creators. Is that the big transition which has helped and something which might actually take us forward?
Absolutely. So I think when we started our company back in 2007, you know, doing a startup was an oddity, and it was not looked down. So it was not looked at socially as something, you know, which was the most acceptable thing to do. Some people used to ask me, did you not find a job that you ended up starting a company? Yeah. And I think today, the aspiration of the youth is actually to be a part of this startup ecosystem, right? Every young person I speak to today wants to be a part of this startup ecosystem in some shape and form, either as a founder or someone working for a startup. And I think what has changed dramatically is just the attitude and the acceptance for, you know, what it takes to create a startup and why youth from tier 2-3 cities. I myself am from a small town. I grew up in Kanpur and Lucknow, right? And it's not impossible today for someone in a small town to dream of creating something big.
Let me go across to Rajat Gulati. Mr. Gulati, did you also have to deal with a whole lot of question marks on your choice of career?
Thanks, Vishnu, for that. Not as many as I would have thought. I feel rather privileged in that my environs were very accommodating of my choice to do a startup. My parents were very understanding, and the kind of people that I've grown up around understood the need, the desire to do a startup. But I think the change that I see now is, and I'm certainly biased, but at events, at startup events, some of the more recognizable founders are as big celebrities, if not bigger, than some of the actors and actresses we have in the country, or some sports persons. So there's definitely a recognition of the achievement within a startup. It's like Alok said, it's actually become very, very desirable now. And when your politicians do the talking of their industry, when they are ambassadors of the industry, there's obviously a greater acceptance in society as well. RPM is as big as a celebrity as they come. So when he speaks well of the startup space, when he speaks well of entrepreneurship, it definitely lends, it gives a boost to the space in general.
Neha Singh, one of the most wonderful data points associated with Indian startups is that more than 45% of Indian startups are led by women. I mean, that's real empowerment over there and a solid contribution to the economy as well. Is your workplace also one that encourages the greater participation of women and diversity?
For sure. So, for instance, if you look at Traction as the company, over 44% of the people that we have are actually women, which is, you know, a great stat that we tend to also improve over, you know, across the years. You know, I've seen this transition in the startup ecosystem of the last, I would say, decade. Like, you know, a decade back when you go to conferences, startup conferences, there would be hardly any women founders. And, you know, it's great to see that number has sort of improved over the years. So right now there are a lot more women speakers, people, like even in the boardrooms, you know, now you have women investors and founders. So it's great to see that diversity, which has come about in this ecosystem, which is much needed.
Ankush Sabharwal, from a technology standpoint, artificial intelligence is obviously a key buzzword. How important is it for us to develop ethical standards as far as apps are concerned and startups are concerned in consolidating this very valuable technology?
Absolutely. So, you know, as the technology is emerging, we need to put the guardrails into play. And I think India is in the forefront again. As we know, India is India is leading the GPAI AI, that's Global Partnership on AI. So I think, which is for the responsible and human-centric use of AI. I think as we all are developing, we developers and technologies even not yet sure about the applicability and the hindsight of it. I think as we are developing and at the same time, we are also building the guardrails. And I think there are four things which are very, very important for any AI system, right? When we build the AI system, we need to ensure the purpose is good. It's not like just the technology we should just be fascinated about and try to solve any problem, right? The problem which we pick up should be a good problem for society to get solved. I think purpose is very important. The explainability, right? Whatever algorithms and whatever data we are using and giving the output, we need to ensure we have the explainability why the output has come with which algorithm. And now inclusivity, right? As, you know, AI is also the representation of the society. And, I know we are biased as a society. I'm not saying AI will not ever be unbiased or biased. I think even if it's biased, it will be because the data is biased. We need to have the full disclaimer and transparency for the users. And the fourth, of course, is the responsible use of data. So I think these are four things which I think the government is also trying to put the advisory around and show they're working on it. So I think technology, society, and the lawmakers, I think, are on it so that we provide good AI system to our consumers.
Alok Bajpai, as the technology evolves and AI evolves as well, I know you already at Ixigo would be employing chatbots, but going beyond, what would Ixigo look like 10 years from now as the technology evolves and AI gets more mature?
I think that's a very interesting question, and it's very hard to crystal ball gaze for 10 years when every few weeks you find some new AI tool that challenges all the existing norms. But one thing is certain, that AI will allow us to have a much more personalized and a much more comprehensive set of information available at your fingertips, right? So as a traveler, for example, the domain we are in is travel, right? And as a traveler, there are multiple points before, during, and after the trip. where you are left, you know, without actionable information, and you have these moments of anxiety where things could go wrong. And I believe that with some of these AI solutions, you know, the travel industry can handhold customers better right from the time they start planning their trip all the way till, you know, they're tracking delays in real time, getting updates, and also, you know, getting preemptive information about what to do next, right? So you can think of it becoming more like a personal travel assistant of sort. And I think in a lot of domains, you will see apps moving in that direction where they understand you better, they react better, and they have all the information required at the fingertips before you even think about needing them.
Rajat Gulati, the government is in the process of setting up a deep tech startup policy. What do you believe needs to be the essential ingredients to take this sector or this space even forward, or even more ahead?
Okay, fantastic question. So with regard to deep tech, already there's been talk of creating a separate fund for this. There is clearly there is a draft on the policy as well that is being discussed. I think as with things that they have done in the past, first, we must acknowledge that there's been some great work done, right? We are beneficiaries of platforms like Startup India, Invest India. And so the way that these a lot of these policies have come about has been in consultation with the industry. And the regulator, the policymakers, and the industry participants need to be doing this together. And this is a constant struggle. It's a constant tension that needs to be both maintained and controlled to be able to get good outcomes for what are for society at large. And we see this in the fintech space currently, and which is where we operate. But I think this tension is a good thing. It's not necessarily something that you want to avoid, but it's a tension that needs to be navigated. It needs to be essentially navigated. And it'll only happen once there is an acceptance that these three parties have slightly different interests, but the outcomes, if all three of them can agree upon, are going to be good for society at large. What would help deep tech, of course, is another, another policy like a production linked incentives policies as well, which would help more manufacturing in India.
Neha Singh, our startup secured $9.6 billion in funding in 2023. That's down 63% from 2022. I'm just trying to understand whether funding concerns, are really primary as one looks for more entrepreneurs to come up and get into this space.
So that is correct that there was a funding decline which has happened, you know, last year. But this is in line with the global trend. So nothing, you know, especially about India. India is still the third largest ecosystem in terms of the startups, number of startups or the funding that goes into that. And this decline was, you know, in line with what you have seen globally, you know, as the interest rate had sort of increased. And now the focus on startups is more on profitability path to profitability. I think you saw some of the funds go slow, like late stage funds go slow in funding, which people are expecting to come back this year. So, you know, hopefully this year should be much better than last year. But, India is still producing, even last year, it had a lot of interesting early stage funding, which had happened, a lot of companies across the different stages, which got funded as well as, you know, launched. So that ecosystem continues to be very vibrant, I would say.
Ankush Sabharwal, while the word startup doesn't necessarily imply an app, it could actually be a startup in any area. For example, in space, we've got so many startup ventures which are doing wonderfully well. There are so many others, however, which are closely associated with apps and software and an interface through the internet. My question is this. As India evolves from 5G to 6G, line speeds go up and the full potential of the internet gets more realized. What is the potential for apps going forward using this? Because we are very much, a leader as far as making that transition when it does happen.
Absolutely, again, right? So I'll be a little biased, right, towards AI. I think that's what we do. I think which can be a better country than India to have AI platforms, right? We produce data by just living life as individuals and, you know, companies. And now with 5G, as you rightly said, the more apps and probably the more engagement, more usage would happen and more data would come. And I think that's the right time where we from India lead in AI platforms. And I think there's already buzz around in India. Everyone is trying to come up with their LLMs. So that is on the tech side, platform side, we techies. I think subset of it, right? Everyone is not building AI platforms, but whoever is building, it's great opportunity. With 5G, again, opportunity would increase. As we know, AI platforms are as good as the data it has, and we would be the leader in this space. Now coming to the apps, again, I'll be biased on AI solutions, or if it's not AI solution, any solution, I'm sure now there are elements in need of using AI to better, kind of for better performance and more features towards any app. So AI, again, in solutions would aid. Again, India is ready, right? The acceptability of Indians, if you see the UPI, I think 500 million users are using, I think 140 crore handsets, 800 million active internet users. I think you give any usable app to India and they are ready to embrace it. I think it's just up to us identify again the right problem, solve it rightly. And, you know, instead of building some product with our idea and trying to find product market fit, I think let's identify the problem, then find the right solution so that, you know, it's easy to problem solution fit. So I think in that case, I think risk, I know you're not asked, but, you know, it's close to my heart. I'm an entrepreneur. I don't think I've taken much risk. So I think it's not required, right? When you identify the right problem, people are ready to pay for the right solution. It's just up to us engineers to create the right solution, and people are ready to embrace it if you identify the right problem. I think we should think of more problems instead of, you know, I have an idea, let's start building about it.
Sure.
So I think India is ready. Let's identify the right problems.
Alok Bajpai, one of the most wonderful parts of startups is that it's not among people who are necessarily, you know, city slickers or those who've got a certain level of education or academic background. It's a social culture. You've got people from tier two, tier three cities, different levels of education, all fascinated by the technology, but more fascinated by ideas. How is this a social revolution, in a sense, in India?
Oh, I think, you know, if you see what has happened in the last 10 years, you know, we have now a real ecosystem in place, right? Where you not just have enough talent pool in the country that has actually worked in startups and therefore can go out and create their own startups. You know, that's happened. A lot of our ex-employees actually gone on and created, you know, startups, some of them actually building a lot of value. And this has happened in most companies that have lasted for more than a decade, that, you know, they've actually ended up creating a rich talent pool that understands how to build products, get to product market fit, raise money, and, you know, build something large. And I think the fact is that today, you know, if I'm a smart engineer or a smart product person, no matter where I come from, right, and whether I have had formal education or not, the opportunity has been leveled even further with these AI tools that we talked about, right? So today, a person sitting in a tier two town who's learned engineering through YouTube videos and knows how to use AI well, you know, can actually create something meaningful within days, right? And the days might not be far away from having a one-person unicorn, right?
No, like, absolutely.
And these are that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, that's what makes it so very fascinating. Look, I'm interrupting simply because I'm out of time. And, you know, I've done this fascinating chat with Amitabh Kant, who's been so inspirational in this space. Thank you all very much for being with us. When one talks about India's journey to 2047, the startup ecosystem is obviously a key part of that. India is in the midst of a startup Mahakumbh. It was addressed by the Prime Minister now. And when one starts speaking about startups and unicorns, it's not just a talk shop. All of this is backed by some real numbers. Amitabh Kant, someone who's very closely associated with this mission, joins us now. Thanks, sir, very much for being with us. When the Prime Minister spoke about this becoming a part of our social culture, I found that really interesting. more than just numbers and statistics, this is something which a lot of India wants to do now. Can you tell us about startups and India's social culture?
So Vishnu, I've seen this complete transformation because when Prime Minister launched it in 2016, in January 2016, there were very few startups, and as the Prime Minister narrated, we only had startups on the dais that day. You know, one of the young startups, who was there said that her mother said that if you start a startup, it'll be a disaster, it'll be sarvanash. Since then, we've come a long way, and young people are all from Tier 2, Tier 3 cities are doing a lot of innovative work. They are getting into disruption. They are getting into, the whole range of education, health, nutrition, agriculture. All these areas are getting disrupted. Automobile, manufacturing, many of these areas are getting disrupted because of young energy and young dynamism. So what has happened also is that because of the digital infrastructure we've built up, number of startups got into real-time fast payments, where we do almost 46% of the fast payments in the world. And then they started doing credit. So number of young startups, Mobiquick, Pine Lab, all of them started doing credit, which was paperless, cashless. And then number of startups like Zeroda, Grow Upstock, they started doing wealth creation in Tier 2, Tier 3 cities and rural areas. And then you had another set of startups like GoDigit and Acco, etc., who started giving insurance, on the go, on the mobile. So all this is happening within 30 seconds to 1 minute, from insurance to stock market to credit to fast payments. All this in India happens in 30 seconds to 1 minute.
Sure.
Because of young startups. Nowhere in the world has this energy been captured, and the cost of acquisition of a customer has fallen from $150 to less than a dollar in India. Nowhere in the world has this happened.
Mr. Kant, women are leading over 45% of Indian startups. That tells a great story.
Yeah. So women have been a very big driving force. 45% of the directors in startups are women. But what we are pushing now is that in IITs, IIM, all the engineering colleges, all the colleges, actually 50% of the women should all get into startups, and they should really get into many, many new areas of growth. The challenge is that we have to produce, as the Prime Minister rightly said, job creators. India's next big wave has to be that we must become the number one startup nation in the next 5 years. And that would require our educational institutions to drive entrepreneurship, have many more incubation centers. We have to ensure that Indian funding, Indian financing from Indian insurance companies, Indian pension funds, high net individuals and corporates reaches the Indian startup movement. Many more women become startup entrepreneurs. And that is the way to really drive the startup movement. In the next 5 years, our aim must be that we'll be the number one startup nation in the world.
Mr. Kant, one of the areas, in fact, we were talking about this recently in Jaipur, is startups and space. It's such a booming sector now. We have 50 space-related startups, and that is an entirely different part of our economy which is surging. And we have so many startups associated with this. So clearly there is no limit, and the sky is not the limit. In fact, it's much more than that.
Yeah, yeah. So, that credit, the Prime Minister opened up space, he opened up drones, he's opened up geospatial area, he's opened up defense area. All these are new areas of growth. So you're seeing a whole range of new startups in defense. You're seeing what you're seeing in space. Look at Dhruva, look at Cosmos, look at Pixel, look at Skyroot Aerospace. All of them, from manufacturing to launching to use of data from space, all the kind of disruption happening in the space sector is unparalleled. And actually, that is only going to grow in the years to come, because we have a cost arbitrage in terms of launching from India, which no other country will have. So actually, the startups from many other countries will come to India and use the incredible amount of infrastructure which ISRO has built at very frugal engineering, which we have done in the space sector. India has a huge cost arbitrage advantage in the space sector, including drones, including robotics, including geospatial area. These are the areas where India will technologically leapfrog in the years to come.
Mr. Kant, the ethical use of artificial intelligence in startups. Tell us a little bit about that.
So AI is a foundational technology. It'll be impossible to grow without the use of data, without the use of artificial intelligence. And actually, it's very important that India becomes the leader in artificial intelligence, because we have a huge advantage. No other country has the kind of data sets which India has. No other country will have the skilled manpower which India has. And now India is putting computing power through this new AI mission, with GPUs being made available everywhere. So if we are able to do this, use the power of AI to drive many of our innovations in many other areas, we will technologically leapfrog. The challenge is that, much like what we have done in digital public infrastructure, where we built open APIs, we built open source, we built globally interoperable model, very distinct from the big tech model of US and the Chinese model of Tencent and Alibaba. We allowed, on top of the public interest layer, we've allowed private sector to compete and constantly innovate, make it globally interoperable, but open source. And therefore, even in AI, our model has to be open source. That will make it transparent. That will make algorithms open. That will make, the way forward will be greater and greater innovation. And that is the way the world will go. I mean, look at the vast amount of innovation that will take over once you have open source API.
A final question. India is in the process of formulating a deep tech startup policy. We already have a policy, but what is it that we are essentially trying to accentuate?
So the challenge, Vishnu, is that in the deep tech area, you need a lot of patient capital. It takes you 10 years, 15 years, long period of time. And you need finance to flow in for deep tech. You know, many of these areas of green hydrogen, battery storage, cutting edge areas of growth where you need patient capital. And therefore, you need to be very clear that there has to be a fund of fund for deep tech. And that fund of fund will actually support venture capital. Now, venture capital will do the due diligence, but a lot of risk sharing will be done by the fund of funds for deep tech. I'm not a great one for making too many policies, but I really believe that a fund of fund which does risk sharing with a number of venture funds for deep tech will actually provide impetus and growth to the deep tech movement. The next big area of growth has to be the big tech, because we've opened up defense, we've opened up drones, we've started creating the big movement in geospatial space. All these are actually deep tech areas, but we need a fund of funds to support venture capital in these areas.
All right, Amitabh Kant, wonderful speaking to you. Thank you so much, sharing your vision on startups in India and the future. Thanks very much indeed.